The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Kappa J Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Ah, see you bopping to the music in there, Shay. Got some good music rocking this morning.
Yeah, it's not bad. It always reminds me of Christmas, though. It sounds like a holiday song at the start.
It's the greatest. Bruce.
It is. It does.
It's the best.
Bruce does some good best. Christmas music, right? Bruce has a couple of Merry Christmas Baby, right? He's going to Santa get him down the chair. It's pretty good.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Best.
Oh, there's that one, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, I'm a huge Bruce guy. Going to see him next year. I can't wait.
Where are you seeing him?
Paris.
Oh, come on.
Honest to God. We have tickets.
No!
Get this. We bought a trip to go like bike riding in Paris, or in France, I should say, before the pandemic. Never got our money back. Never.
Okay.
It's been now 3 years. It'll be 3 years this spring. We were supposed to go July of 20. Canceled. Out. And we got an email. You still have this credit here that we owe you to France. I got the airline tickets, and I got the credit for the hotel. All of it. It's all paid for already. And I have a neighbor who's on this charity board that works with the Teach Rock Foundation. He's like, dude, we're big with Bruce. I can help you buy tickets to the concert. And so I bought two tickets to the concert. I'm looking at the list, and it's like Milwaukee. I've been there.
Yeah.
Nice city. Been there.
It's a fine town.
Not Chicago yet. Let's see. Where else? Minneapolis. No, I went to college up in the Twins. Yeah, I'm good. Whoa, Amsterdam. And it's on Mother's Day weekend. And I'm like, nah, I can't do that. We're not going to go. My wife and I are going to leave, and our kids won't be with Mindy. No, not going to happen. So
what? Take Mother's Day for you. Mother's Day is a day for Mindy. If she wanted to see Bruce in Amsterdam.
Mindy doesn't like Bruce.
There's the spin.
Mindy doesn't like Bruce. Like, she'll go and have a good time, but she's not a Bruce fan. You got to be either a sports writer, somewhere in the media to kind of like Bruce. That's the way.
You have to be a very disheveled baseball writer to like Bruce Springsteen. It comes with your Baseball Writers of America card.
Yes.
You also get a Bruce album. You get it printed.
Right.
I will say it's funny. It's very on brand for you, Kat, because I think the radio morning show guy, the Bruce bumps always. Like the radio morning show guy is always the Bruce Springsteen guy.
Yeah. So like when I went to see him at Wrigley, it was so awesome. I'm like, whoa, Tom Thibodeau. Whoa, Chris Sale. Like, Pat Riley. All these dudes flew into Chicago to see Bruce at Wrigley. Iconic stadium, great performer, all of that. Guy said, two tickets, I can buy them. Bought two tickets, cashed in my free trip, and we're going to Paris next, I think it's late April, first week of May.
Paris in spring. That's awesome. So will you also be, will you do the bike ride? Are you going to be doing the bike ride thing, like a tandem bike, you and Mindy?
So it's not a tandem bike, but you bike ride to different wineries. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Really cool.
Do you have to bike on the other side of the road in Paris? Is that one of those towns?
I don't know that, but that's a great question.
So you're going to be like four or five wines deep biking on the wrong side of the road and not on a tandem. You guys are going to get split up. She's going to be at like the Louvre and you're going to be at Bruce and you guys are going to take like 3 days to get back together. It's going to be like a rom-com.
Correct.
You guys are going to be like an actual rom-com.
Right. Right. Because as Waddle nicknamed me, one can Dan, like two glasses of wine and I will fall off my bike. I have the worst tolerance for alcohol. Yes.
That's going to be good.
Like I was sitting like... I could say this because I am Jewish. Jewish guys aren't great at drinking. We're just not.
Ooh. Really? I've met the guys that are, Sylvie. Unfortunately.
I'm at a wedding the other night with Sylvie. Congrats to Andy Mazur and his wife, Melina. And Sylvie's sitting right next to me. Dude, that guy can put it down now. Sylvie can put it down. My wife's like Dean Martin. She can drink. And there's Sylvie right there.
Maybe it's That's just impressive. You.
Yeah, I'm just weak.
Maybe it's just you. You have a weak constitution.
I have a weak constitution when it comes to alcohol. Yes.
You never had the tolerance? You know, like not even in college? You hadn't built that up? You hadn't done a Thursday to Sunday morning?
I had, but I mean, I just wasn't very good at it.
I got
just
you.
Not.
I got you. Well, just don't, not. You know, that's not on you, man. You know, we're all born with different, I wouldn't, you know, don't hold that, you know, just enjoy yourself. You're a cheap date. That's a good thing.
That's it. I'm easy, man.
I'd rather be a lightweight. Takes less money to spend. Boom, you're done.
What do you weigh, 130?
Not even, Cap.
Okay, so like one drink and you're
113. No, not one drink, but...
How much do you weigh?
113.
Who weighs 113 pounds? Do you realize, before I went on soda, I was 100 pounds heavier than you.
Have you lost half a can, too?
I've lost almost 32.
Okay, so like one third can two.
Yeah, about a quarter can two.
Yeah. A quarter can two. That's right. It's a quarter. My math was bad. You're right.
And last week was my wife's birthday, so I bought her a chocolate chip cookie cake. I had never had one. And so I called Scoops and Cookies in Deerfield, ordered it up, got her favorite ice cream. Bad. I don't like coffee ice cream. She does. It's her birthday. Got her the coffee chocolate chip cookie cake. She has a nice little slice. The rest of it's sitting there. I've been on soda locked in. I ate the rest of the whole thing. Yes. Yes.
You just let it rip. That's fantastic.
Oh, my God. Friday night, I came home. I was stressed, and I don't ever feel stressed. And I had a glass of wine, ate dinner, and started on the cookie. And then Saturday, Mindy goes, "Do you know what happened to my cookie?" I'm like, "Brett had a little piece." She's like, "How big a piece?" I'm like, "Small." Well, where's the rest of it? And I started laughing. She's like, "Oh!" And I weighed in. I gained two tenths of a pound. That's it.
Is that what the stress was? Did you eat because you were stressed and become more stressed because you had put on 2/10 of a pound?
I didn't get more stressed because of the weight. I was stressed about something else.
What was the stress? Let's talk through this. Was it a bad over-under that you'd had? Was it a tough day at the TV station? Are you okay? Are you done with the stress?
I'm not going to go there.
Okay,
it was work related. Let me put it.
Okay, all right. I hear you. As we've all been there. You gotta. Sometimes the best companion for stress is a slightly warm spoon and about a gallon and a half of ice cream. That's the way.
Yeah, I went chocolate chip cookie cake, and it was my wife's birthday cake. So
there you go. Hey, regret nothing.
Crushed it. Went right back to soda. I'm good. Weighed in this morning. I actually am down 0.2 pound.
See?
Crazy.
State of the art.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Noel on the south side. Noel, what's up, Sparkles?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing, man?
How you doing?
Yes, I'm happy my bears won, but I'm mad at the national media. Instead of saying what the Bears did right, everybody keeps saying what the Patriots did wrong. Everything's about the Patriots, Zappy and Mac Jones and Bill Belichick. I mean, when would the Bears get some respect around here?
They're getting respect from Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman, I thought, was very respectful. I thought the Mannings were... I don't watch the Manning cast. I'm more of a traditional broadcast guy. And we were watching the game at TV, so we didn't have the Manning cast on because I had the Bulls on the other TV. But I thought... I don't know, Connor, if you paid any attention to it. I thought that from what I've read and heard, the Manning cast people were very complimentary of the Bears.
They were. You know, I've seen snippets. I did not watch that one live. I watched the Troy and Joe Buck show. Did you stay through that to Scott Van Pelt on ESPN? Did
no,
you stay
I was
through
doing
that whole
the
transition?
Football after show on TV. I couldn't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you've got responsibilities. So what I thought was, I don't have any of those. It's great. What I thought was interesting is they do the transition, right, like they always do. Van Pelt starts his show, and he throws to the first break, and the tease is, stay with us, you know, because Troy and Joe will be back, you know, then you kind of recap the game a little bit, the three of them. And I really like Scott Van Pelt, always have. I think he's a really good show host. Now, at the same time, I thought what was evident is at the three of them got started talking about that game, the low-hanging fruit, the really easy stuff is, you know, Patriots quarterback controversy, right? And yet, Van Pelt and Troy and Buck all worked really hard in that first little bit to talk instead about the success the Bears had, what Justin Fields looked like, and how that offense was able to do what they did against the Patriots. Then they went to the Patriots quarterback controversy thing. And I thought that was – I was watching it to see what that national media kind of first look would sound like. And I thought it was really it was really focused on the Bears. It really took its time to kind of talk about what that team did and not what the losing team did instead.
Yeah, and again, I thought Bill Belichick was awesome. Eberflus won't say what he told him. He said that's personal, but he said he was very complimentary of what we're doing. And then he told the New England media, Belichick, how impressed he was, how they played before the game and after. So, all right. We'll get to more of your calls because the phone lines have been hot. What did you learn, if anything, about the Bears' win and about the Bears' team on Monday night? Cowboys coming up 9.5 or 10, where it depends where you shop. That's the point spread. The Bears are massive underdogs again. More of your calls on the Bears on the Cap J Hood Show. Hoodies on vacay in the Indiana Dunes. Have a great time, my man. Be right back. That's why I see.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see him
in the shot. Shot. No shot. Brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Bet the Breeders' Cup on November 4th and 5th at a newly remodeled Club Hawthorne betting bar. And Connor, you sent me a tweet. So I did not know this. Connor sent me a tweet from a guy named Mike Cadlick. He has video evidence. Video. Who is Mike Cadlick, first of all? He's a media guy, host of the Patriots Beat podcast. So he's in the media. This is unbelievable video. So the ball Mac Jones threw that led to him being benched and Brisker made the interception on hit the guide wire for the overhead ESPN camera. And it changed the trajectory and it dropped it down just enough where Brisker could make the pick. Otherwise, it's either completed over the top of Brisker or it goes sailing out of bounds. One of the two.
How crazy is that? How absolutely wild is that?
That's insane.
I mean, I think the Bears still win that game, right? Which is also wild to say, isn't it? Like, going into it, you would not have said, oh, they needed a break to go, whatever. They were just going to get absolutely housed. They probably still win that game, but...
But at that point, what was the score?
10-0.
10-0.
10-0.
Okay, they're driving down the field.
Yes.
He picked that... Where did he intercept the ball at, is the question. I have to
look at the play sheet.
Got to look at the play sheet.
It was like the 25, maybe.
Our 25. Yeah.
No, feels right.
Yes.
Yeah. So he completes that pass, and all of a sudden, because it would have been over the top of Brisker, they're in the red zone.
Right. I agree. I don't think that, listen, they were going to get 14, right? The Patriots. Bailey Zappe comes in. He throws his score. I think one of the more impressive things the Bears, and we haven't talked about this yet, and I know we got shot or no shot, but the fact that they were able to withstand Zappe coming in, the little bit of offensive movement that they did, I mean, it looked for a little bit. Like, that second quarter from Justin Fields was terrible, too. They withstood that and were able to, you know, to man up and win a ball game and do that whole thing, right?
Crazy.
I think, though, if this pass doesn't get picked, if it doesn't hit the guide wire, you're looking at the Bears beating Mac Jones the entire game long, right? I think he was probably healthy enough to play. Belichick told Lisa Salters on the way into halftime that the plan was to put Mac Jones back in action and get him playing.
Yeah,
but that didn't happen.
The game got out of control. All right, let's get the shot or no shot.
All right.
Here is Norling.
Good morning, boys. That was like a WWE entrance.
There you go.
Thank you, Kaplan. Take I appreciate that. Connor, great to have you in this morning.
I learned that from
thanks
Danny.
Thanks for having me.
I learned that
I don't
from
have
Danny.
The WWE entrance, but I'll give it to you.
I learned it from Danny with the good morning, everyone.
Yeah, he was the best. All right, boys. I want to ask about Matt Eberflus. He met Bill Belichick at midfield after the game, and he wouldn't disclose the details of their conversation, but he did say, quote, I can just generalize and say he was complimentary of the way we're doing things and what we're building here. So it sounds like from that, Belichick seems to think the Bears got the right guy, even if he can't remember his name sometimes. So shot or no shot, Eberflus proved Monday night he's the right man for the job.
This first take society we live in, man. No shot. Matt Nagy was the freaking coach of the year with a 12-4 record, and if we didn't have Cody Parker doinking the ball off the
Cody
upright
Parkey.
No, he was called Cody Parker on the Today Show.
That's
We've
right.
We got the audio in there. Jake can find it where Hoda Kotb says Cody Parker. Yes. If he doesn't double doink that, who knows with that defense where that team goes? Who knows?
I agree. But
and then
can
he was
I just,
named NFL Coach of the Year, and everyone's ready to have a parade, me included.
He also was parachuted into a team that had three All Pros.
Yes.
Eberflus is doing this with no talent.
Yeah,
Hold on a second. The Bears were 6-10 the year before he came.
Yes or no? They had three All Pros on that team.
Who?
Tariq Cohen was first team All Pro. Khalil Mack was first team All Pro.
They traded for Khalil Mack after Nagy got here, and they said, "Oh, we might have something here."
But still,
again, you have three All Pro, and Eddie Jackson, I believe, was first team All Pro. You have three All Pros on the team.
Yeah.
On the side of the ball, two of them on the side of the ball that Matt Nagy couldn't actually. I don't think you could find the defensive meeting rooms in that building, much less anything else like that. There's no shot, right? It doesn't prove he's the guy, but it does prove that he's capable of taking the short bye, moving it around, not being too, I don't know what would be too stubborn to admit that what they had been doing needs to change. I think all those things are good things. But that's the kind of reputation that the guy had coming into this anyway. So good. Thumbs up. Proves nothing.
Yeah, proves nothing.
All right. Fair enough. I want to ask about Luke Getsy as well. Despite being a first-time coordinator, Getsy is getting a ton of praise this week for revamping Chicago's offense over the 11-day mini-bye week and providing advantageous positions for Justin Fields. Brian Baldinger weighed in. He said on Twitter, regardless of the results, the Bears have found their coordinator and quarterback. So shot or no shot, Luke Getsy and Justin Fields already looks like a long-term marriage.
Again, we wanted to run Luke Getsy out of frickin' town because there was so much pressure on Justin and he wasn't rolling him out. One game does not make, in this hot take society, Luke Getsy has, if we go out and get blown out 37-7 and Justin gets sacked seven times because they're playing from behind, everyone will be like, what was that? That will be Monday. Luke Getsy forgot how to coach. He doesn't have a good enough team. Let's let this play out over a sustained number of games, and then we can make an intelligent evaluation.
Yeah, I say no shot. There's more of a shot here, though, than with the first question, right? Couldn't you see this working more, you know, as more of a long-term solution than you could say, Eberflus is your guy? Or am I just reaching at straws? Do I just want that because I need Justin Fields to be good? Am I projecting? I think I might be projecting. I think my therapist would say I'm projecting.
That's it.
If I were going to answer my own question, I would probably say no shot, but not because I think Getsy still has more to prove. He might get hired. Somebody might just come take this guy away. The way that he was able to revamp the offense, if this continues projecting upwards, he ain't going to be an offensive coordinator for long.
He is not getting a head coaching job after this year. They're 31st in scoring.
I'm not saying after this year. I'm saying after 2 years, 3 years, that long term implies the Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady marriage.
But
I don't think that's going to happen. If you're good enough, you're going to become a head coach.
And that would be good, right? I mean, that would be good for the long term arc of the Bears. That would be good for the long term arc of Justin Fields. It means that Luke Getsy and Justin Fields got out of that marriage what they needed to. It probably means they've drafted a couple of offensive linemen and wide receivers to help him out, that his offense is clicking. And that's what you, you know, that's what you hope going forward. Like, Josh Allen still exists and Brian Daboll's coaching the Giants to wins. I mean, this is, I think that could be a good thing, right?
And it'll Brian Daboll was, up. How long was Brian Daboll there? Several years or a handful of years. That was a long,
I think just two, right?
Is that all he was?
I think so.
So, again, long-term for me, if he's the coordinator 22, 23, 24, and then he gets a head coaching job because, oh, my God, the Bears won the division and Fields made the Pro Bowl, I'm good with that. And promote the next Andrew Janoco, there's your office. He's the quarterback coach. Yep. Shay.
Sorry, I was just confirming. Daboll was there for three seasons. He came from Alabama in 2017.
Yeah. That's long-term in the NFL. Yeah.
All right, Connor, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the White Sox managerial situation. One candidate got a little more likely yesterday. Joe Espada was rumored to be the leading candidate for the job in Miami. That ended up not going to Joe Espada. So my question now, shot or no shot, he's also been rumored for the White Sox. Joe Espada will be the next manager of the Chicago White Sox.
It's absolutely a shot. I would like Joe Espada to be that next new manager. I think he's got the credentials and the resume. Heard a couple of interviews that he's done with a few different podcasts. I've been really impressed with his conversation about what it is to, you know, to manage a clubhouse, to keep guys, you know, in their right place, but also allow them to grow where they need to grow. I'm a big Joe Espada fan. I don't know where the White Sox are going with their managerial search right now. I kind of thought we'd have a chance of a managerial hire before White Sox Weekly Saturday, 1 to 2 here on ESPN 1000. Downloadable on the ESPN Chicago app for those of you who are looking around for a little White Sox programming. It's White Sox Weekly on Saturday afternoons, just, you know, in case you hadn't heard. But I don't know if we're going to have that managerial hire before the show on Saturday at 1 o'clock. By the way, we're going to talk to Jeff Perlman, who just wrote the book on Bo Jackson. That's their interview coming up on Saturday afternoon. Cap, you're going to want to listen in. We had to tape the interview with Jeff beforehand, but it is awesome and quality Bo Jackson content.
I will be up in Wisconsin this weekend, chilling like a villain, and I will absolutely be listening.
I know you will. I know you will, my man. That's why we love you.
Joe Espada is out. I do not believe he has a shot at this job. I do not. I do not think he is the guy. I may be proven wrong. I'm not reporting anything here. I leave that to Yurko. He had the scoop on Ozzie. That is not what I'm doing here. I'm telling you,
scoop.
What I'm hearing is Joe Espada is not in. So we will find out where it goes. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. I actually think there is a strong chance Ozzie's the manager.
That would be really something. It'd be awesome to cover an Ozzie Guillen team again.
I love Ozzie Guillen. I love him. But, oh my goodness, would that be cool. Be sad for the TV station I work at because he's beloved in that newsroom. Beloved.
He's so good at that job.
He's such a great person and a great dude. You ask anyone in there from the maintenance man that comes through at the end of the day always to check stuff to Steve Gardner and Glenn Morgan and Linda Pelletier and anyone in there that works in the crew that's in that studio, you ask any of them, Brandon, he's the best guy they work with.
Can I share a little Ozzie story? Let me share a little Ozzie story. So it's the first game of the game three against the Astros at Guaranteed Rate Field, right? And as you know, Cap, when you're covering a game like that, you have to leave the press box or the broadcast booth or whatever in like the eighth inning and go down to the tunnel, you know, whatever ballpark you're in, you go down to the tunnel and you prepare, you get ready down there to go onto the field for your post-game coverage, right? Mm-hmm. So we had, I think, a couple of White Sox players on our post-game show with Len and with DJ. You know, I had the microphone and the whole thing. And Ozzie's down there as well. And we're all lined up and waiting. You know, Guff is down there, all that, you know, Chuck is down there, all that kind of stuff. And the whole line, right? We're all trying to get service on our phone to make sure that we're following along the play-by-play because we can't, there's no TV in there. So we're just kind of like listening to the crowd and watching the pitch-by-pitch on the MLB app and all that kind of stuff. And all during it, as you would expect, Ozzy is essentially doing the Ozzy Guillen show down there without seeing the game. No one can see this game. We're just seeing the crowd and stuff. And I can't repeat half the stuff that went on during the Ozzy Guillen show. It was, the guy had everybody cracking up, everybody laughing, and was giving you quality baseball analysis without seeing a baseball game. It was awesome. It was absolutely hysterical.
The best. All right. We have got to grab a quick break. Then our phone lines are still hopping. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is sounding a lot different about his moribund Packer team this year. Yeah, I don't see so many green and gold jackets walking by. Front runners that live in the Windy City, I'm a Packer fan. If you're from Wisconsin like Connor, have at it. Those of you that live in Chicago, were raised here, and you picked the Packers, you should be ashamed of yourself. Your team sucks. We'll be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
With Connor McKnight, I'm Cap. 312-332-3776. 9:30, Snorling is in a conundrum, and I think he's 100% wrong, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
So we need your husbandly advice, since you're a husband, about to be a father, but your husbandly advice, because I think Snorling is, like, so wrong. Like, his wife could literally say, hey, honey, I've got a huge honor here. I'm getting this big promotion Thursday. It's Thursday night football. Congratulations. I've got to watch the Colts and the Jaguars. That's who he is.
Well, listen, if you're going somewhere for marriage advice, you definitely want to talk to the guy who's been married for all of 8 months and 21 days. So yeah, I got it for you. I'm ready for you. With all of my accumulated experience, we're ready to talk.
Guy who spent his whole summer watching baseball, too.
That's right. The entire summer watching baseball.
It's his job.
That worked out just fine. Everything was great there.
It's his job. It's his job. Anyway, so letter grades on the Bears, Snorling. How would you grade the Chicago Bears front office?
The front office, I think I would give a C minus, maybe a C. I think they did very well in the draft, but they didn't address the positions they needed to. Wide receiver sticks out to me. Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker both look very good. Jaquan Brisker in particular to me looks like an all-pro in the making. Mm-hmm. Kyler Gordon looks like a very good defensive back.
But you wouldn't have taken them.
I would have liked to get George Pickens. Now, I'm not going to be too upset about that because I think you have an all-pro in the making in Jaquan Brisker, but you whiffed hard on Velus Jones.
You don't know that yet.
7 weeks in, man, it looks like you whiffed badly on Velus Jones. He's already been relieved of his punt returning duties.
It's 7 weeks. That may be the case. It's 7 weeks in the NFL against the best freaking players in the world.
But he's 25, and he had, like, 1 year in college. That was a questionable draft pick when it happened.
I don't disagree. I just can't write a guy off with his type of athleticism, speed, all of it, in 7 weeks. You suck. Get out. You're horrible.
Yeah, no, you're not going to write the guy off. You're not going to trade him. You're not going to cut him. Obviously, you spent the draft pick on him. You got to get something out of him. But we were talking earlier about the things that can help Justin Fields in this season. Velus Jones has already spent half the season hurting, not helping. So I don't know how much he's going to be able to contribute. I don't know if you would change based on what they do at the trade deadline, but I'd like to do it. I'd like to be able to bump that grade up based on what they're able to accomplish at the trade deadline. And I know it's not baseball, and the NFL is far from that. Few players really move that are of any impact. But shoot, the Bears feel like a team that could really impact their future at least a little bit at this deadline.
Okay, so if the, what are you doing with David Montgomery?
I'm actually offloading talent is one thing, and I think that's part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But our teammate Courtney Cronin asked the question of Ryan Poles in that press conference beforehand about whether he'd be interested in adding to the offense, maybe a guy like Chase Claypool or something like that, a receiver that could actually step in and help. I'm more interested in getting weird like that than I am necessarily offloading talent. I'd probably trade Montgomery. Listen, one of the better things that might have happened in that Patriots game is Robert Quinn playing well and perhaps, you know, giving you a little bit of trade value there. Maybe instead of a seventh, it's a sixth now. Probably not, but mm-hmm. maybe. I'd be more than happy to deal from this team. But I also think you could look around this league and maybe not, you know, Brandon Cooks or anything like that, but possibly some other receivers like Claypool that might make a difference for you going forward and might be guys you could take on a flyer. I'm all in. I'm all about it.
Yeah. Again, I'm not giving up precious draft capital. If there's some guy out there that, all right, for a seventh, I could take a shot in. Mm-hmm. If my grades yeah. line up, in. But if you said you can have, who's the kid in Denver?
Jerry Jeudy.
Jerry Jeudy. And we want your second round pick. Yeah.
But my question would be, who are you getting in the second round this year that's going to be better than Jerry Jeudy? Jerry Judy's a really young guy, 23 years old. Mm-hmm. He was great in college. He struggled a little bit in Denver, but you could have a reclamation project. And next year, he's $1.5 million. It doesn't add any risk to you. If you think he's better than whatever grade you have on a second-round receiver, I think you make that trade.
I don't know my grades on the second-round receivers this year, A, and you may not get him for a second-round pick. They may be looking for a late one. I'm not doing that.
Teams do that all the time, though. You know, I mean, they Poles talked about it going into this draft, right? We look at, you know, whatever, we look at this draft as Justin Fields in the first and all the rest of the guys that we got. You do that, you know, retconning all the time with GMs. I'm with you, Shay. I think you can maybe add and subtract here from your draft capital at the very least. I think helping Justin Fields is the most important thing, the most important thing. And there may be a way to do that at the deadline here.
Yeah, there's a good article that Greg Gabriel writes for Windy City Gridiron about when you go into the draft. He was a scouting director. He worked in the league for almost 30 years. So he knows what he's talking about. And he said the Bears people he talked to said that they had Kyler Gordon as a first-round pick. That's how they rated him. All their scouts. So when they set their board up, they looked and went, Kyler Gordon's on the board. Clearly the best guy on our board. We don't care what receiver's there. We don't care what tackle's there. That's the guy, and that's why they took him. He said, because when you draft for need, oh, God, look at that receivers there. We have a glaring need, but he's not the highest rated guy, he said. And then the guy you passed on, who you had rated higher, becomes an all-pro safety, and you're like, we got a mediocre receiver because we drafted for need. Trust your board.
I get that, but Bears fans are all too familiar with having a very good defense and an offense that can't keep up. I'm tired of watching football that way, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't mind leaning a little bit toward let's get some offense involved in this city as opposed to the defense might score points for us and we'll be fine the other way, right? Like I'm kind of done with that style of watching football.
I'm with Connor, too, on the in the point of adding and subtracting, where maybe you go get a guy like Jeudy, even if it takes a second round, a third round pick. You go get that guy, and then you can subtract with Montgomery, because a team like Buffalo would love to have David Montgomery, I would assume. So you go and trade David Montgomery, because I don't really have any interest in a running back on a second contract, and Herbert looks great.
But then you have to ask yourself a question. Denver's not a very good team, and you go, why would they give up on a guy this quick? For what reason?
Because they're terrible, and they don't want to pay
him. So are we.
Yeah, but you have the cap space where you can afford to have him on next year, no harm done.
You're telling me that next year he's making a million whatever.
Right, but that's
anyone could afford that.
That's my point, is you're taking on very little risk, and if you don't think you're going to get anything better, I typically don't. If we're talking about, like, look, if we're going to use the pick you used on Velus Jones to get Jerry Jeudy, I'd rather have Jerry Jeudy.
Okay, that's different. But what if they said, yeah, we want a second and a third?
Well, I don't think they would get that from anyone.
They may not. That's why he may not get traded. You got to ask yourself, why is the GM in the other seat? What am I missing here? Why is he so willing to give up a speedy first-round receiver a year and a half into his career? Something's not right.
Well, I think the Hackett situation is more in their plan right now. Because whatever, if they move on from Hackett after, because there's some reports even after the Jaguars game this upcoming week that something could go on. That deals a lot with where they're going to go next year and who they're going to want with their front office and their next coach.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. If they whack a coach less than a year, he doesn't get a full season?
And that's why Jeudy might be available, because the next coach might just want a clean slate and just more draft picks.
Maybe. 312-332-3776. Evan is in Phoenix listening on the ESPN app. Evan.
What's up, Cap? What's up, Connor? I'm calling you guys from Phoenix. It's a little chilly out right now, solid 55 degrees. I might have to put on slacks before I go golfing today. But anyway, my grades for the Bears. Mm-hmm. Offense, I want to give it a C. I'm believing we're going to pick up. Justin was definitely checking down, looking left to right on a couple plays during the Pats game. And for front office, I'm leaning towards a C-. Like, Cap, I agree with you. We were going with what you said, go with the best what was available rather than go for an O-line or receiver. And, I mean, I believe they were the best available. But also I want to add that I believe Belichick praised us so much prior to the game because he knew we were going to win. He knew he was going to lose that game.
Maybe. Appreciate the call. It's an interesting point. 312-332-3776. So, Connor, Shea has a conundrum this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shea's 100% in the wrong. We're going to explain what said conundrum is, and then we will have Connor, who's married. I'll give my opinion, and we'll get your opinion. 312-332-3776. Danny's down here. He's going to put money in your pocket. I'm going to ask him off the air his opinion on this. I would love, because Danny is all in about the family stuff. I would love to know Danny Zetterman's opinion on exactly how Shea is handling this situation with his wife. So we'll get into all that. 312-332-3776. And watch us on Twitch today. And every day, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Brought to you this week by FanDuel Sportsbook. Carmen Yerk at noon. Waddle and Sylvia 2. Black and Abdallah at 6. On Chicago's Home for Sports. Be right back.